The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
The book of Malachi is introduced to us as a burden. And when we really understand that word and how it is used, and we use it in the context of the book, then we would certainly come to the conclusion that the basic concept is that Israel's sinful actions have caused God to be burdened. In Malachi chapter 1 and verse 1, Malachi 1 and verse 1, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. The book of Malachi contains several prophetic layers of meanings. One layer deals with the physical, literal tribes of Israel, and God wanted Malachi to deliver a message to Israel. Now, we have to remember and think about this because it's very interesting. The nation of Israel, the northern 10 tribes, was in captivity, and they had been there for many, many years. In fact, they had been taken by the Assyrians into a captivity way back around 722, 721 BC. And so by the time we come to Malachi, that's around 300 years or so that they had been in captivity. But the fact is, God wanted this message to be delivered to them. The ancient Assyrians had overtaken the kingdom of Israel, and they had moved many, many of the people of Israel to Assyria or to various parts of the Middle East and even far beyond to other areas. They had been scattered, there's no doubt about it. And as a result of this, many of the people of Israel lost their identity after so many years of having been scattered far away from their homeland. Yet, God sent them his word in a message by the prophet Malachi. In a way, his message to Israel and really to all of the sons of Jacob is timeless. His message was for Israel who was scattered, both then and now. And that's an important point to understand. It wasn't just for those people back there who had been scattered. It is also for Israel today. A second layer of prophetic meaning is for spiritual Israel. The name Israel means overcomer. The word Israel we actually get from the Greek. And this word that we have from the Greek in the Hebrew was Israel, and it's Y-I-S-R-A-E-L, and it would have been originally without the vowels. The Hebrew word Israel means, quite literally, he has striven with God, or he has overcome with God. Or it could be, he has been saved by God. Therefore, that's how we come to the conclusion and say that Israel is an overcomer. And this can clearly apply to the New Testament Church of God, which is now in the process of overcoming and learning to live God's way of life. Some of the book of Malachi addresses literal fathers and children. Some of the book deals with our spiritual fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and their children by bloodline and or by faith. Some of the book actually refers to God as our Father. Malachi chapter 1 and verse 6, we're going to read the A part of the verse, Malachi 1 and verse 6. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? So God is saying, I am a father, I'm your father, and where's my honor? Some of the real meaning of the father and children relationship also involves us today. It involves us as physical fathers and physical children, as well as us as spiritual fathers and spiritual children. Go with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15. Paul the Apostle tells us, in fact, you don't have to turn it, I can just read it and quote it for you. It says, "For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." Paul is saying he is, in that sense, a spiritual father. It's also easy in the book of Malachi to see repetition of phrases in the book. Themes easily pop out of the verses. For example, God refers to himself as Lord of hosts over 20 times. He also directly mentions his name even more frequently than that. God speaks of sons and sacrifices, and he also mentions several covenants. I'm just going through an overview and some of the themes that we can see in this book, some of the things that are addressed. The burden which God gave to Malachi to deliver deals with many things that displeased God. He was displeased. An overall theme of the book shows that God is not pleased with how his words have been ignored or how his name has been profaned or how his way of doing things has been consistently replaced by a corrupted way to sacrifice. Back in the book of Malachi chapter 1 in verse 8, Malachi 1 and verse 8, read the A portion of this verse. "And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil?" Drop down to verse 11. "For from the rising of the sun even to the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen, says the Lord of hosts." Verse 12. "But you have profaned it, in that you say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat is contemptible." And now go to chapter 2, Malachi chapter 2 and verse 8. Malachi 2 and verse 8. "But you are departed out of the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts." An overview of the book also shows that God is displeased with how the people had corrupted his way, God's way. And we need to please understand, these are the very people that God has deliberately chosen to love, deliberately chosen to make his people, deliberately chosen to put his name upon, deliberately chosen to bless, deliberately chose to protect, and deliberately chose to take care of. The covenant God made with the fathers, meaning Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, was a covenant for their generations. It was a covenant for their children. You see, God originated this covenant back with Abraham, and later he confirmed the covenant to Israel, or Isaac rather, and then to Jacob. And we see where he did it to those later ones back in Genesis chapters 26 and 28. That covenant, as it says, was to be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. That's what it says in Genesis chapter 17 and verse 13. You see, brethren, these three fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, treasured the covenant. And then to a significant degree, they understood some of what it meant for El Shaddai, the Almighty God, to make promises that would extend to far beyond their temporary lives. They understood a great deal of that it wasn't just limited to them. They understood that in a very powerful way. Go to Genesis chapter 17. I want to read you some of these verses here. Genesis 17 and verse 10. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your seed after you. Every man child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man shall in your generations. He that is born in the house and or brought with money of any stranger which is not of your seed. In other words, he's taking them in. This is what he's telling us. And so we see that the covenant's sign was circumcision, which set Israel's sons apart from the rest of the nations. We also can see that later in the New Testament, we know also that circumcision is still a sign of the covenant, but now it is circumcision of the heart. And that's exactly what Genesis chapter 17, not going to read that, but in Genesis chapter 17, verses 4 through 9, that's what it shows us. Because what it says is, it is for all generations. They understood that. Did they really understand that the blessings for their children were to extend for thousands of years? Yes. And even beyond, even further along than that. From several scriptural passages, we find that there's indications that they understood a resurrection and they understood an everlasting life. These men wanted these blessings for their children. They wanted the birthright promises. Their lives and their choices confirmed the value they placed on God's word and God's promises in his covenant. In Malachi 1, Malachi speaks about Esau. One of the reasons Esau was rejected by God was Esau's devaluation of the birthright which he sold for a bowl of soup. We know that story. It's back in Genesis chapter 25. But I want you to go with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12 and verse 16. Hebrews 12 and verse 16. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Verse 17. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. And brother, what we see is very interesting, because what we see is his choice simply demonstrated how much he was interested in himself and not any of the generations to come. He was not like the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We also see that it demonstrated just how much Esau was into the here and now versus a life that would be everlasting. It also demonstrates how little Esau cared for the covenant relationship with El Shaddai for himself or for his children. Instead of counting the birthright as holy and special, Esau profaned it, which means he devalued it or he made it common. Esau also married a daughter of the unchosen nations. And from that, we can see apparently Esau never intended to pass on the way of life of God that he had been taught by Abraham and Isaac. Reading the messages from God to the people in the book of Malachi, we find that many of the leaders and the people had turned away from the passion that their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, had toward God's blessings. They had turned away. This is what Malachi is telling us. All of Israel needed to have the same zeal as their fathers for God's promises and God's way of life. But by the time of Malachi, they didn't. God wanted Israel, the entire nation, to be in covenant with him, to be his children, to be his holy seed, to be a generation of people who would faithfully serve God and become like God is. We find this clearly pointed out for us in the book of Psalm, in chapter 78. Psalm 78. In verse 1. Psalm 78 in verse 1. Psalm 78, verse 1, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. Meaning sayings that were not understood, but the people are going to rehearse it, and they're going to tell them, and this is what it's going to be explained, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. Meaning explained it, demonstrated it. Verse 4, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make known unto their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. So the fathers were to declare them to their children, and then those children are to rise up and declare it to their children, who then are to rise up and declare it to their children. This is what it is saying. Verse 7, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And verse 8, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. But Israel perverted and corrupted the law that God had given to them back at Horeb by Moses. At Horeb, Israel was in covenant with God. It was much like a marriage. Israel was to be married and to produce holy seed God's way. However, Israel cared more for their pleasures and comforts than they cared for teaching their children God's ways and keeping them in covenant with God. And by the time of Malachi, that's what we're seeing. That's what Malachi is addressing. The quality of the literal sacrifices the Israelites were making was pathetic. And that certainly displeased God. However, what God was really after was a holy seed. Making appropriate sacrifices of the best of the bullocks and rams and first fruits and tithes and all of the rest of the ceremonial sacrifices, that was important. However, in the end, these appropriate and pleasing sacrifices were partly intended to teach Israel how to give God their best in everything, especially in their children. And these ceremonial requirements also pointed to Jesus Christ, the ultimate holy seed. Part of the prophetic symbolism here involves the idolatry committed by becoming intimate with a strange God, with marrying the daughters and leaving the wife of their youth that had been in covenant with God. That's what we read in Malachi chapter 2 and verse 14. It has been revealed to the church today that the holy seed is Jesus Christ. And our Heavenly Father is using the work of Jesus Christ through His Spirit to create a bride for His Son. And from there, the Almighty God will bring all nations into His everlasting family in a new covenant. The book of Malachi was written about 400 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. And during this time, during the time when it is written to the time of the birth of Jesus Christ, about 400 years, there was a prophetic silence. Also during that time, the tribes of Israel were steeped in false religions. Whatever was nearby and handy in the ungodly nations where they were scattered. In other words, Israel simply fit in. They took on what was around them. And in the small nation of Judah, there were some who were trying to maintain a relationship with the Almighty. But what we also see is only they were doing it in their own terms, not God's terms. And that's what Jesus speaks about when he talks to the in the New Testament in Mark chapter 7 and verse 7, Mark 7, verse 7, "Howbeit in vain do you worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Malachi's message shows that God held the priests especially responsible for the perversion and the corruption. Specifically, they had not laid it to heart to give glory to God's name. Malachi chapter 2, verse 1. Malachi 2 and verse 1. "And now, O you priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts." Then he goes on and says, this is what he's going to do. But they were not the priests. They were not. So we see the priests were to join the people to God by right example and right teaching. They were to speak of God's glory. And they were to remind the people of God's wonders. They were to teach reverence and respect in the fear of the Lord. They were not to be partial in their judgments and administration of God's law. In our modern church era today, this has been done. We have been witnesses to much of this, partial in the judgments and administration of God's law. God had made a special covenant with the sons of Levi, particularly Phinehas, who was Levi's great-grandson. God intended that the priests were to be faithful in teaching about God's righteousness, His way of life, and His way of worship. They were to join the people with God. That's what it means. Levi means joining. And they were to join the people to God, making a unified family, a family of God's oneness. But they didn't do that. They didn't do that. However, down through the centuries, the priest had corrupted the covenant. They had been partial to the law, picking and choosing. They taught some things and left out other important matters. As I said, does this remind you of the modern era of the Church of God today? Malachi states Israel had wearied the Lord. Malachi 2 and verse 17. Malachi 2, 17. You have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them, or where is the Lord of judgment? So, brethren, I think we need to come to the place that we need to ask ourselves, why has God called us today? Why has God given us his Spirit? Is it not for unity, that he might make us one in the body of Jesus Christ? Is it not so that God will have a holy seed? There's a great deal more what I would consider as spiritual meat in the book of Malachi. But I'd like to kind of conclude this teaching with tying what we have just reviewed with a few verses, particularly from chapters 3 and 4. God says in Malachi 3 and verse 1 that he will send a messenger who will prepare the way for another messenger. And God labels this other messenger the messenger of the covenant. This messenger, God says, will purify the sons of Levi so that what is offered is done in righteousness. That's what he tells us. Notice also in chapter 1 of Malachi how God describes the prophetic condition of what the Levites were accepting to be sacrificed. I read some of these verses. I want to read this again. Malachi chapter 1 and verse 8. Malachi 1 and verse 8. If you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Verse 13. You said also, what a weariness is it? And you have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And you brought that which was torn and lame and sick. Thus you brought an offering. Shall I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? He said, you brought it as an offering. Am I supposed to accept this? God then tells Israel that he would judge those who have lived against his ways. And this applies both physically and spiritually. He will judge those, as he says, who have lived as sorcerers. What is that talking about? Well, it means the word, if you look up the word, it means magic or magician and that kind of thing. But if you keep digging into it, you find that it actually is even deeper than that. Because that's what the magician does. That's not what this word is really talking about. This word here, it actually means to cover or to cloud over. But that's what the magician does. He hides, trickery, those kind of things. In other words, what he's referring to here, it is someone who is covering over God's word or God's message. He's not bringing forth exactly what it is. And so he tells us that he'll judge those who live against his ways, that they apply both physically and spiritually, because there have been some who have been sorcerers or idolaters or adulterers, or have lived as false witnesses and as oppressors of the poor and widows, orphans, and strangers. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 5. Malachi 3 and verse 5. And I will come near to you to judge, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling of his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that they turn aside the stranger from his right and fear me not, saith the Lord of hosts. And some of this has happened in the church of God. Clearly, God does not like what he has been offered by Israel. And still, God also has a plan to complete his purpose, to have a family, to have an everlasting holy seed. Malachi also tells us that God has a book for those who fear his name and those who frequently fellowship with one another. Malachi 3 and verse 16. Malachi 3 and verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And we have Church of God groups today that will not talk to one another. So, yeah, this book is modern. God promises that righteousness will arise, the light, the Son of God. We read that. It said that. Wickedness will be wiped out as the righteous ways of God are restored, as his ways are taught to the children by the fathers who remember the covenant. And yes, there may be another real human being who comes in the spirit of Elijah to remind us of how God wants things to be done. And perhaps each of us as faithful children will turn our hearts to God and to his ways. We will love the faithful fathers who have kept the faith and passed it on to us. Those who have been diligently and faithfully, who contended for the faith once delivered. And at the same time, we today can be living as faithful fathers who love and teach those children that God will bring into his family. Faithful fathers will bless the generations to come, giving glory to his name as God brings about a mighty family of his holy seed. When the fathers' hearts are faithful to their task, there will be no lame, no sick, or no torn sacrifices offered up to God. That would include the children. We will offer up to God our best. We will give him strong, healthy, holy seed that will fear his name. You see, brethren, we get the truth from God, and then it is imperative that we pass it on faithfully to the generations to come, to as many as the Lord our God will call, even to those who are afar off. Acts chapter 2 and verse 39. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord your God shall choose. And yes, there in Malachi, God says he will send Elijah. Malachi chapter 4, verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. So we know the timing. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Is a curse going to happen? God says that he's going to send Elijah, who is going to do this. That prophet, the original Elijah, pointed out who the true God was. He pointed out, he is God. Jesus also stated that John the Baptist was that Elijah, at least that Elijah in type. It's over in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 14. Because he had a similar ministry as he taught the people and warned the self-righteous Sadducees and Pharisees about the wrath to come upon them. And he is the one who came and introduced, there is someone coming who is greater than I am. And he's referring to Jesus Christ. And of course, in the same sense, Jesus Christ also does the work of Elijah, turning hearts to God our Father. And brethren, as we remain faithful, as we wait to see if God will send another Elijah in the form of a man to specifically turn hearts, we continue to do what it is God is wanting us to do. Because you see, we don't know for sure if a man will arise, but we wait in faith, still doing what we know we are to do. And so, brethren, ask the people of God today. We have had much righteousness restored by faithful fathers who came before us. And we need to remember them with honor and respect. Brother, now it is our turn to faithfully pass on God's ways to the generations that follow us. The book of Malachi was much more than just written to a group of people 400 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. The book of Malachi is a warning and a blessing to the church of God today. The Aaronic blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless you all as the people of God.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.